Good morning and welcome to our Sunday service online. My name is Casey and I'm excited to be sharing with you today a new series that we are starting in Every Nation Church Penang. We are now doing a series on Philippi's joy. We want to look at the book of the Philippians and understand some key insights on how we can continue to draw joy despite the challenges and the uncertainties around us, especially at this time of the pandemic, not just in Malaysia, but all around the world. So basically, we are going to be taking a look at the book of Philippians, and we want to look in four segments. There are four chapters in Philippians. We're going to start off by looking in how can we find joy in the midst of suffering. And then we're going to look into how can we find joy in relationships. And also in our pursuit for Christ, there will be challenges, there will be difficulties. So we want to see how we can draw joy from there as well. And finally, in entire life, all circumstances, how can we discover that joy in Christ? Now, the book of Philippians is written to the church in Philippi, hence Philippi's joy. And it's interesting to note that Philippi was a very important city, basically just a gateway between Asia and Europe. And the name Philippi actually came from the conqueror, Philip of Macedon. And if you know, Philip is actually the father of Alexander the Great. And when we look at the Philippine church, you know, it's the very first church planted by Paul. And it's interesting to note too, the first time when Paul planted a church, he was in prison. He was in prison because of that. And today, as we look into the letter to the Philippians, he is also writing from prison. So the book of Philippians, it's a book that's written by Paul while he was in prison, chained to a guard 24/7 for 2 years. And at this point of time, he's kind of like about 58 years old, having 30 years in the ministry. And we all see the book of Philippians as an epistle of joy. Why? Because despite his circumstances, he is talking about how he can find joy in the Lord. And very interesting, unlike most of the other epistles of Paul where there's doctrinal correction and so on, in this particular case, this is a book of appreciation, a book of thanks. All right, so four chapters, 104 verses, and 16 verses of joy and rejoice. Let us just read this anchor verse and we will commit the time to the Lord. Yes, and I will rejoice. For I know that through your prayers and the help of the Spirit of Jesus Christ, this will turn out for my deliverance, as it is my eager expectation and hope that I will not be at all ashamed, but that with full courage now, as always, Christ will be honored in my body, whether by life or by death. For to me is to live, for me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. Let us pray. Father, we want to commit this message into your hands. We ask for your Holy Spirit to come and open our hearts and our spirits and our mind to receive the truth of your word. Help us, Lord, to discover some truths about your word so that we can discover the joy as we read of how Paul is able to discover that joy. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So the question here that we are talking about is, this is a photo of the prison where Paul was incarcerated for 2 years. And it's in the dungeon, there's no light and so on. Basically, his entire freedom is taken away. And he's chained to a guard for 24 hours a day, right? And apparently, they are like a four-hour shift, so there's kind of like six guards per day. So the question we're all asking is it possible? We're going to have joy in suffering? How can it be? And it's something that a lot of people in the world find it hard to understand. Why? Because if you look at the definition of suffering from the dictionaries of Wikipedia, it says that what is suffering? Suffering is a state of undergoing pain, distress, hardship, sadness, loss, and so on, an experience of unpleasantness. Or the opposite of suffering is pleasure or happiness. And this is why all of us are trying to stay away from unpleasant things so that we can have joy and pleasure. That is the culture of the world. In fact, I'm sure you have heard before people talking like this as the when and then myth to be happy. What most people say is that, you know what, when I achieve my success, when I have this a second house, then I will experience real joy. Oh, when the COVID is over, then I will experience happiness again. But if you think about it, before COVID happened, were you really happy? So this is some of the things that the world finds so hard to understand when Paul declares that I can suffer in the midst of my, I can be rejoicing in the midst of my suffering. Now, really interesting, if you look at this, I'm sure some of you have come across this author, Marie Kondo, you know, and she basically says, you know, we can sort of like have a tidy up our houses and we have that life of love and happiness. And you know, it's very interesting what she said. You know, what is the motto? He says, every item look at, just look at it. Does it spark joy? And if it doesn't spark joy, discard it. Oh, I'm very worried now. I'm going to ask my wife, do I spark joy in you? Right? And that's what she says. This is her motto. And she's so popular in the Western culture. When you surround yourself with possessions that spark joy, you will create a home and a life that you love. So basically, the world is saying that for you to be happy, you just have to find things that gives you pleasure, and then you will have joy, you will have happiness. So what we are hearing is, people are looking for joy from external things around. Either getting things that give them pleasure or getting rid of things that don't give them pleasure. But let me tell you what the Bible says. In the book of John, it says, I have told you these things so that in me you may have peace, because in this world you will have trouble. Jesus did not say some of us will have trouble. Jesus did not say if we do certain things, we may have trouble. He says, you will have trouble. But the good news is, take heart, for I've overcome the world. Now, why is Jesus saying that? Is God so having such a disciplinary attitude to want to give trouble to us? If you look at Genesis 3, this is the reason why we have troubles in this world. Genesis 3, verse 14 says, because this is after Adam and Eve was tempted by the serpent and they disobeyed God. And so what did God say? So the Lord God said to the serpent, because of what you have done, cursed are you above the livestock. And to the woman, because of what you have done, I will make your pains in childbearing very severe. And to Adam, a whole chapter is there, you can read it for yourself. It says, cursed is the ground. So the sufferings, the problems, the difficulties are caused not because God is a bad God, it's because of our sin. So we can't help it. No matter what we do, we will always have pain, sadness, disappointment. For example, when you're checking in, the flight is delayed, there are no seats for you and so on. What happens? No joy. Well, in the case of being served at a fast food counter, they didn't give you the right order, they miss out the garlic and so on, slap, you know, right? Because there's no joy. It's suffering, it's pain and so on. And of course, sometimes we don't get good customer service, then we come and destroy the shop that's in. And of course, this is in Malaysia. I'm sure you come across this news, you know, this wonderful petite lady, right? Because there's suffering, there's discomfort, there's unhappiness, and that's it. You know, we let loose everything. So it's really interesting. You look at all these situations, compare with Paul. Paul is in prison. Every ounce of his freedom has been taken away. He has got no freedom to even have that private time in the bathroom. He's in prison. Externally, he's got nothing. And yet, he has got joy in his heart. And look at all these people. They have access to, they have money, they can travel, they can do anything they want, they have the freedom to do what they want, and yet they do not have joy. So what does it tell us? Joy is not depending on the external circumstances, despite what Marie Kondo says, with what the popular culture of the world says, you know, find sparks of joy and pleasure and you will be happy. In fact, this is actually very dangerous. Because there's some people, they cannot ignore the fact that there is pain. Obviously, we lose friends, sometimes COVID, some people get sick, sometimes we fail in our exams, we don't get the job we want. These are the realities of life. We cannot control it. So, there are some people who believe that, hey, you know what, for you to be happy, you should even ignore these negative things. That's why positive. To be happy, you got to be thinking about positivity every day. Whatever happens, stay positive. Hey, you know what, there are some things we cannot be positive. There's COVID all around. There are people dying. people in hospitals. You cannot say, hey, be positive about that. You're positive about this, you become COVID positive, right? And so this has become a danger. In fact, psychology says now, when you overplay positivity, it is going to cause you even more harm. And there's a word for this, right? So what happens is, when people wanting to just embrace that pleasure from things around them, you know what happened? They will only recite positive things. When something goes wrong, we think of something. Hey, we're going to make it. You know what? When someone, say for example, loses a baby, and they say, oh, at least you had a chance to be pregnant. Yes, words like that. Because they need to find some silver lining over some bad thing. This is really damaging. We are now trying to actually, you know, be deluded from reality. And of course, right? Another approach is, be so positive that we just completely ignore problems around. We are in debt and so on. We just say, stay positive, something will happen. And of course, we need to hide our negative emotions. By the way, emotions are there to tell us what's happening around the world. We have the right to feel sad. We have right to mourn for those we've lost. We have right sometimes to get angry when there's injustice. But because of the popular culture in the world, no, that is really bad. You need to be joyful despite all this, and just ignore it. So we hide our negative experiences and so on, right? Dismissing other people's difficult feelings. Come on, right? You better buck up. You got to stay positive and so on. And people are mourning. People are in sadness. People are losing their jobs. People are struggling to find money to put food on the table for the children. And obviously they say, come on, man, at least you got to have a life. That is the problem when we become over-positive. And of course, when we ourselves feel the sadness, we feel a sense of disappointment, you know what? We become so hard on ourselves. It's, oh, that's not right. That is not right way. And this is what psychologists say. Toxic positivity. We are trying to look for the external things to come and give us peace and joy and happiness. And this is what they say, the horror of toxic positivity, how it can be harmful for us. So now, what does the Bible say then about joy? We want to come back to say that, how is it that Paul is able to discover that joy? If I look at the Word of God, this is what it says. Actually, God is full of joy. There are just so many verses in the Old Testament and the New Testament that talks about joy and rejoicing. I'll just pick a few, right, for you to be aware. Psalm 16:11 says, you make known to me the path of life. In your presence, there is fullness of joy. At your right hand are pleasures forevermore. Can you see how it differs from the popular culture? Joy comes from the presence of God within you. Another verse, it says that the Lord your God is with you. The mighty warrior who saves you will take great delight in you. In His love, He will no longer rebuke you, but will rejoice over you. This is God's posture over His creation. He looks at us, He looks at us, right? When one of us is saved, He rejoices together with His angels. His posture over us is that He is joyful when He sees us. What else it says? Joy actually helps us to overcome, right, struggles and challenges around. In Nehemiah, when they were rebuilding a wall, right, it says, do not be grieved. The joy of the Lord is your strength. How amazing it is that if we can have that presence in us, we are able to draw strength and God can rejoice over us. And over here in John 15:10-11, if you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in His love. You see, abiding, being in His presence. These things I have spoken to you that my joy may be in you. That's where Paul gets his strength. Get his joy, because he has Christ. He has the presence of God. And may be in you that your joy may be full. So to Paul, it doesn't matter what the circumstances are. He has got joy in his heart. So he doesn't have to worry whether the prison sentence will end, whether he has his food, whether he has his durian. It doesn't matter, because Christ is in him. And obviously, how do we build this joy? Galatians tell us, the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness. So it's a process. We start by getting God in our lives. Be surrounded, you know, in God's presence. Having Christ in us and allowing the Word, the Spirit to work through us day in and day out. And that is how the fruit comes about. And which is why Paul, despite such trying circumstances, every freedom taken away, and yet he had that joy of the Lord. So if I were to summarize what I see from the Bible, the references to joy, what I see is that joy is actually a delight of the mind, arising from consideration of the present for assured approaching possession of a future good. That means we know that there is hope for all of us. And actually, joy comes in many forms. If there is a moderate level of happiness or joy, that is gladness, right? And sometimes we don't get what we want. I want to have durian of this grade. I don't eat durian, by the way, right? I don't get it. I get last season's durian. What do I do? Oh, I lose my joy. No, when we have the joy of the Lord, we learn to be content. But at the same time, if I manage to get the latest durian, the greatest food, hey, it is not a sin for Christians to desire for, you know, the things around the world where we can enjoy food, friends, and so on, clothes, right, or even a house or a car. So when we actually achieve the desires that we want, we get satisfied. That's also part of joy. But there's so many aspects of it. And when we overcome a struggle, we feel triumphant. That's also another element of joy, right? And when joy is in us, like Paul for many, many years, it tempers our outlook of life, our disposition. And that's why, pastor is always so cheerful. Even lockdown, you know, right? Even self-quarantine, right, in the hotel. He is, you know, cheerful. Why? Because it is tempered, right? And obviously, when we go through difficulties and so on, joy doesn't come and say we celebrate, but we have that peace. And if we are excited about God, when we glorify God, when we worship God, our joy becomes a form of glory. And just now, remember, earlier verse, we said that the Lord will rejoice in us. This is the word. He will look at us with exultation. So that is what we understand. Joy from God, an internal disposition. And we saw just now from Galatians, it says joy is a fruit of the Holy Spirit produced by God's work in us. We need to allow God to work in us. So looking at all this background, I'm going to share with you what I can draw from the passage of the book of Philippians and take up three keys how Paul was able to find joy despite his intense suffering. Three little things that we all can apply. It is so simple, that doesn't cost us any money, but it costs us to make the right choice. So here are the three things that I see in Paul's life in prison that allow him to find that joy that we all are seeking for. The first is the presence of God. And we've seen many verses prior to this. When we want to have joy, we must be in close proximity to God. The book of Philippians, as we are looking at it, verse 19, chapter 1, says, "For I know that through your prayers and the help of the Spirit of Jesus Christ, this will turn out for my deliverance." So he's confident not because he has got political context. He's confident not because the judge has ruled and set him free and acquitted him and so on. He is confident and he is at peace and he is glad and in control because he knows Christ is in him and Christ will at the right time be able to deliver him, whether to deliver our prison or send him to another prison. So this is what we all need to be looking for. Are we having the presence of God in our lives? So joy cannot be fabricated. It cannot be created externally. It comes from within us. And this is why when we look at earlier all the verses, it's that, so from the Bible's perspective, joy is what? Our state of being connected to God and God's posture to us. And a result of the Spirit, Holy Spirit working in our lives, right? And this is that, it comes from within. It's an inner steadiness built upon the goodness of God, not on circumstances. Which is why when Paul has the Holy Spirit in him, he doesn't have to worry about his circumstances. He can be in prison, he can be on the road, he can be on a shipwreck, he can be beaten, he can be, you know, attacked by snakes and so on. All this does not matter to him because the joy of the Lord is within him. Imagine it's almost like that vaccine that we're going to take. If we have the presence of God in us, no matter what happens to us, wherever we are, what happened to us around the world, we will have that joy. Because the joy of the Lord comes from within. And Paul says this, it takes time. In verse 6, And I'm sure this, that he who began a good work in you will bring it to completion at the day of Jesus Christ. That means this is a promise of God. The first thing is that we must have relationship with God. Invite God into our lives so that Christ is in us. And that's important. If you look at verse 1, what did Paul say? What did Paul say about, you know, he says, Paul, a slave of Christ. Then we share that posture. That means he is our master. If we want to have him present in life, we need to understand what he wants us to do. Be exposed to his word, be immersed in his spirit and so on. And that is how our joy becomes a fruit in our life. This is what Galatians says. You know, if we allow God to work through us. So the question here is this. Are we making time for God to dwell in us? Are we more focused on the things around us that we forget that we need to come in the presence of God daily? Life group, devotions. That is the key. And as I said, all of us, we can do this. There is no money to be paid for this. You can have access to God. And let me tell you this, when we have God in our lives, the beauty of this is, I love this verse. It says that when we are going to pain and suffering, nobody says it's enjoyable. I did not say it's, you know, we look for suffering. I'm saying that in spite of suffering, we can have that inner peace and joy. And you know why? Because this is the promise of God. In 2 Corinthians 1, 3-4, whoever, you know, whoever you are, whatever situation you're in, I can tell you, draw that comfort from this verse. It says, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and the God of all comfort. When we are pain and suffering, we are not alone, even though we feel alone, but we're not alone. This is the promise of God. We just have to get ourselves to be in the presence of God, to dwell in his presence, to allow his spirit to work through us, right? Look to his word for that comfort, who comforts us in all our affliction. And Isaiah 66:13 says the same, as one whom his mother comforts, so I will comfort you. You shall be comforted in Jerusalem. Think of yourself. For those of you mothers, you can understand what it means. Whenever you see your child in pain, the first instinct is that you want to comfort them. And that's what God wants you to do. But what do we need? We need to have the presence of God in our lives. We need to start by having that relationship. So Paul's first lesson for us is that have God in our lives. Secondly, once we have God in our life, the next thing we look at is whenever we go through a period of suffering and trials and difficulties and so on, we need to look at the purpose behind this. In verse 12 and 13, it says, I want you to know, brothers, that what has happened to me has really served to advance the gospel, so that it's become known throughout the whole imperial guard and to all the rest that my imprisonment is for Christ. So Paul's passion is to spread the gospel and so on. So when he sees that when he's in prison, he's able to work out the purpose of God, it doesn't matter. It's not suffering. So whenever we have difficulties or we have disappointments, but we see that the pain serves a good purpose, suddenly the suffering is no longer suffering. How many times, mothers, you sacrifice for your children? Fathers, you sacrifice the last piece of chicken drumstick, your favorite, you know, but it's only one, but you give it to your child, you know. Is suffering? No. When you see there is a purpose behind, it's no longer suffering. In fact, when we see the purpose of our difficulties, that is going to benefit someone, some people, or ourselves, that is what people say, we begin to see meaning. We find meaning in our suffering. And that's why Paul does not feel that it's suffering, because he sees the purpose, he has that meaning. Imagine chained to a guard for 2 years. I think he covered everything, you know, purple book, victory weekend, right? No escape, right? They become disciples. And these are the imperial guards. That means they're people of influence. They will be reaching out to people of power in the Roman Empire. Imagine. That's why to him it's like, hey man, bring it on. And there's a very well-known book by Viktor Frankl. He was a Holocaust victim. And he wrote a book which, until today, he passed away in 1997. Until today, this book is within the 50 most influential book in the American Library of Congress. And this book is entitled Man's Search for Meaning. And he says that he was able to overcome all the torture and the trials in the concentration camp because he discovered that there is meaning to this. I need to go to this so that I can you know, meet my sister and so on. And that's why he quoted this, you know, those who have a why to live can bear almost anyhow, which is what Paul says. Why am I here in prison? I want to advance the kingdom of God. So I will find ways. Yes, the chains are painful. I feel discomfort. I don't have my privacy. You know, I don't have my freedom. I miss my food. I miss my friends and so on. The sufferings are there without a doubt. But when he says, you know what? I am able to reach out to this God. I'm able to you know, help them grow in the discipleship journey. And when they see the why of that, all these difficulties are not a problem. He is able to overcome. That's why he finds a house. So ask yourself. I'm not asking all of you to be pastors and full-time, but whatever you are, whatever role you play, you're a mother. How do you live your life? What you choose to do, that's your life. How you decide, how you respond. Each time you have a situation, how do you respond? Are you responding in the way that God would be pleased? Are you responding in a way that would be aligned with God's word? Then you're living for Christ. And when we do that, we have assurance that God will produce and provide that perseverance and peace and joy for all of us. And some of the reasons why sometimes we suffer, right? Romans 5. Not only that, but we rejoice in our sufferings. Remember, suffering is not in prison. Sometimes suffering is because we have to adjust our attitude and so on. To us, it's suffering. Why? Because the world says suffering is pain, discomfort, unpleasant. When we are disciplined, sometimes we feel unpleasant. But that's not suffering. And so the Bible here says that we should rejoice in our sufferings, knowing that suffering produces endurance. That is going to be part of the fruit of the Holy Spirit. And endurance produces character, and character produces hope. Remember? When we have hope that Christ is going to come, we will not be discouraged by the pain and suffering. And you look at just a simple tungsten ore. When it's dug from the ground, maybe 1 kilo costs about 50 ringgit. Now, when it's been put in pressure, put in the sheet and so on, now it becomes hundreds of ringgit per kilo. And when it's sort of like shaped into rivers and so on, oh, this is going to cost thousands. The value of tungsten now has gone to thousands per kilo. And finally, if you put it inside the filament, it's going to cost tens of thousands per kilo. And that's what God wants to do with us. God wants to create value in us so that we all can also be that blessing to others. Look at this. And most of the brothers, having become confident in the Lord by my imprisonment, are much more bold to speak the word without fear. A lot of times, the purpose of our suffering is so that we can encourage others. And it says here, remember we said that our Father is a God of all comfort. And can you see in verse 4? Who comforts us in all our afflictions so that we may be able to comfort those who are in any affliction. So there's so many reasons why God allows us to go through this unpleasantness, and it's all for our own good. And finally, Paul says, sometimes I cannot find the purpose. But you know what? It doesn't matter. Whatever I do, everything I do, I just check. Am I doing this for Christ? Because if I do this, I will never have the fear. Even the worst happens, I will gain. So this is a powerful word. For me to live is Christ. For us and to die is gain. Ask yourself this very quickly. What is your purpose of living? For me to live is to be rich. That's fine. Nothing wrong with that. This is a free country. But if you say that for me to live is to be rich, when you die, what happens? It's a loss. You can't bring your richness to heaven. For me to live is to be popular. Oh, I want all these Instagram likes and so on. For you to die is that, you know, that's it. So ask yourself today, look at what you're doing and ask God, God, what can I do? How can I align my passion, my purpose with you? And I promise you, that is where you will discover. And the final thing is, not just the presence of God, not finding purpose in our suffering, but ultimately, I love this, that we can have peace and joy in spite of sufferings, because no matter what happens, God's promise is that He will deliver us. And verse 19 says, for I know that through your prayers and the help of the Spirit of Jesus Christ, this will turn out for my deliverance. Let me tell you this, suffering is temporary, it's true. I'm not saying it's easy. It is painful, it is sad, but joy is forever. And that is so true. And let me close off by this by this passage that I think whether or not you are a believer, anyone in this world that is seeking for that pleasure and joy, they look at this verse and their hearts would jump. Because this is the promise of God at the very end, our last book in Revelation. He says, what? He will wipe away every tear from their eyes and death shall be no more. Neither shall there be mourning, crying, nor pain anymore. For the former things have passed away. This is the promise of God for us, that one day all of the sufferings will end. Because this world is wrecked by sin. And that's why when we live here, it should be not for this world, but it should be for Christ. And that's a wonderful promise of God. And now I hope it's so clear for all of us that these three little things that Paul sees, that we can copy likewise. First of all, get yourself in the presence of God. Understand that whatever difficulty, find what is that purpose. Ask God, live for God in every situation. And finally, no matter what, yes, sometimes our sufferings are a little bit long drawn, but be comforted that to know that God will deliver us. And that is a promise, because no matter how long our suffering is, it is still temporary in the light of eternity. Let us pray. Father, I thank you for your word. Thank you, Lord, for encouraging us, for reminding us that truly, we can only find that joy in you, O God. So I want to pray, Father, for people who are listening, people in our community, Lord, whatever struggles they're going through, whatever difficulties, sufferings, disappointment, pain, mourning, Lord, I want to lift them up. And I pray, Lord, that they will discover that truth in your word, that when they come together in that relationship with you, allow your presence to be in them. And as they begin to reframe their view of that pain and suffering and see your purpose in there, and finally, they can cling on to the promise that you are always there and you will be providing that permanent joy in our lives. In Jesus' name, I pray. Amen.